Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
It is Father's Day, and I was afraid last Monday when I got the phone call that my dad was going to heaven last Monday. And Wayne called me, and he had what appeared to be a stroke, and I rushed to the hospital and got up there and at ER. I went in there, and there was Christy and my mother and myself around Dad's bed in the emergency room, and we held hands and we prayed. I prayed did a lot of praying on the way in too, because I love my dad and he's my hero, and we're not real touchy feely. He's not and I'm not, but you know, we grunt a lot, you know, that kind of thing. And we joined hands and I prayed. And I can remember what I prayed. God, I said, I know this is probably a selfish prayer, but we don't want Dad to go to heaven yet. We want him to stay here for a little while longer. That was basically the gist of my prayer. Very deep. Yeah, very deep. And I said amen. And I said amen. My dad, who was unconscious, lifted his head and said, "Hi," so loud that it scared me. And Christy as well. I mean, whoa. Dad, you okay? You know, and he talked with us just a little bit. And then he spent the whole day in the hospital the next day as well. And I know a lot of you were praying and went out on the prayer chain, prayer alert right away. And some were testifying this morning to me and what they prayed and how they prayed. And the doctors can't find anything wrong. The doctors, you know, really don't have an answer. That may be bad, but that's good. That's God. We have a God that answers prayer. I believe that. I believe that with all of my heart. That's why when things go wrong like that, who do you go to? You go to God, because you know that you can't go to the president. You know, you can't go to the governor, but I can go to God. And God hears our prayer. What a great, I'm glad I've got him for another Father's Day. And hopefully a whole bunch more as well. I heard a story this last week, and Wayne McGuire told me that he had some cows out. He was by himself, and this is Wayne Sr., and said he looked down the road and he saw a calf out on the road, and all the cows were in the fence, and he thought, man, how am I going to get that calf in all by myself? And he drove a little closer to that calf, and he didn't have his glasses on, and he got a little closer. The closer he got, the bigger the calf looked, and when he got there, he found out it was a bear. And I told Wayne that had been the greatest story of all if you'd have got that bear in the barn. And I start the message out this way. America has the bear in the barn. There's an elephant in the room that it seems like nobody's talking about. And I want to preach on that elephant that's in the room that everybody's trying to avoid this morning. There is a void of manhood. There is a lack of fathers. In fact, you might be surprised to learn this, but the last census that I could find, over one third of the children in America are from single parent households. Over one third. In the cities, it's far greater than that. One parent households. And you know who's AWOL? You know who in the vast, vast majority of the cases is absent? It's the father. And everything that is wrong with this generation, every generation makes their own choices. But there are a lot of young people, a lot of adults that have grown up, or young adults right now, and really they haven't had a fair opportunity because they didn't have a dad in their home that taught them and corrected them and was that father figure that they needed to have. And so they've got a misconstrued idea of the fatherhood of God and who he is and what authority is all about. And it all kind of comes back to, all too often, back to the men and the church families. I want to encourage you. I want to instruct you this morning as best I can. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke in chapter 1 and verse 17. I just want to read a portion of the verse. It's about John the Baptist. We're Bible fundamentalists. I always try to preach everything in context. To my knowledge, I do, and I do the very best I can in dividing the Word of God and making it so we can all understand it. This is not the text I'm going to stay with this morning, but I just want to read just one verse out of this chapter this morning, and it's verse 17, Luke and chapter 1 and verse 17. Our inner cities today, if you've ever visited there, and most of us haven't, it's another world. The public schools today, for the most part, are hothouses for humanism. All kinds of false doctrine being taught. But I want you to know, there is nothing wrong with this generation that could not be corrected and would not be corrected if the church houses would get right with God. Amen. And then the families within those churches, the men would stand up and be men of God. They would walk with God so that when sis or junior need an example of how to live, they'd think about dad. They'd think about godliness. Luke in chapter 1 and verse 17 says, "And he shall go before him," this is concerning John the Baptist, "in the spirit and the power of Elias, and to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." One way to get that next generation prepared for the Lord, this is what was prophesied, this is what's told in Luke in chapter 1, someone has to come and turn the fathers, their hearts, back to their children. Again. And that's what needs to happen in 21st century America. If not, the drift is going to continue. It is going to get worse and worse and worse. 319 million people in America. In the Upper Peninsula, there's 311,000 people. In Michigan, approximately 9.9 million people. Some say 9.1, and I really don't know how accurate it is, but God knows every single soul. And there are people that just, they're clueless. They have no idea. And I'm telling you, we are called to be the lower lights. We are called to be the people that reflect the light of Christ. And it just isn't happening in too many places. America has so changed in 3 years. I've said that a couple of times this spring and going into summer. In the last 3 years, the change has been ultra, mega, dramatic. This month, the Supreme Court is supposed to decide on the LGBT crowd. This month, and we don't know how they're going to decide. And if they decide against the Bible, all of a sudden, colleges that get federal money that aren't willing to knuckle under, they won't get that money anymore. The next step after that, it'll be a short step, a baby step, but it's going to be churches. I'll tell you ahead of time, the day is coming, apart from revival, where you won't get any tax credits for anything you give to the church. And I pray to God that is not why you give. And you'll give because we're commanded to tithe, whether or not the IRS has anything to say about it. I trust that's the case. But a lot of churches, they're going to get hurt dramatically. Things are going to change, and it can change on a dime. I got a lot of things written down, but I want to get to the Word of God. The drift in churches in the last 3 years to me has been mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. Churches that at one time had a God, had an altar call and saw people saved, they're drifting so fast. It's just like Old Testament Israel when everybody was doing that which was right in their own eyes. Leave the Bible, forget the Bible. I want to find someone that's going to appeal to my flesh, someone that's going to agree with my views. Doesn't matter what God said, my views and satisfy my flesh, and that's where I'm going to go. And I'm telling you, 10 years from now, you won't even recognize those churches because they're already going downstream. You won't recognize your children either if you go to churches like that. Thank God for the Bible. Amen. And thank God for a church that's striving and struggling to follow the Word of God without apology. I hardly recognize America anymore. But I know this. I want Grandpa's America. I want Grandpa's Bible. I want the old-time religion. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7. I've got four passages, main passages, that I want to cover. This one you're familiar with. I just want to touch upon it very, very briefly. It's a call to being a man of God. It's a call to manhood, and I really do have a very simple outline, and it's this. be real, be vocal, be fun, and be strong. This is all the men that are in the auditorium this morning. Ladies, you can listen in, and you'll pick up some good golden nuggets from the Word of God as well. It's for all of us. But the first thing is to be real. Man, get saved. Make sure you're not a hypocrite when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are all too many say, oh yeah, I prayed a prayer. I got saved. I got my religion. You don't have salvation if all you have is religion. You need Christ. I try to make this as clear as I can. I want to do it again this morning. A prayer isn't going to get anybody to heaven. A prayer does not save you. Jesus Christ is the one that saves you. And if you're born again, you're born of the Spirit of God, and you're born again because of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people that wear the title, and they've never been born again. I'm saying what they have is something they did or an effort they made or something they joined, and they're not really saved. I'm telling you, there are people in good churches all over America, and they think they grew into this salvation thing. You need to be born again. Amen. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what the scripture says. And if you don't get saved, you're going to lead your children astray. They're going to, whatever sin you have, they'll take it to the excess. Guaranteed. If my dad didn't get saved, it was not like my dad was the deepest, darkest sinner, but he smoked the Tampa Cubs and he drank the Hams beer. I remember that distinctly. And I was already going into that in sixth grade, draining all the beer bottles after the parties. Every once in a while I get a cigarette butt, I spit it out, you know. But I mean, I'd already developed an appetite, a taste. I'm in junior high, and I'm swigging down six cans of beer at a time, stealing it out of the fridge. I don't know if my dad ever recognized that or not. Out of the back of his pickup. But my dad got saved. My dad got born again. And if it were not for him getting born again and getting saved, I'd be a drunkard. You wouldn't know me as Pastor Raider. I don't even know if I'd be alive right now. But I guarantee you, I'd be a drunkard. Beer is what would reign in my life. I thank God for God saving my dad. This Father's Day, God changed his life. And man, he wasn't a hypocrite about it. He had a hard time with the cigars, giving those up. He every once in a while still smoked them out behind the garage. And I was wise enough and smart enough, I could see that glow of the cigar back there. But I mean, he was ashamed because he knew he was born again and he was struggling to give it. He finally, God took it away from him. He was a changed man. I thank God for his salvation. Dad, I'm glad you got saved because you're going to heaven. And I'm glad you got saved because I'm going to heaven. You know, you as a dad, you have a choice. Man, what are you preaching to your kids? What are you living in front of your kids? Be real. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You know, Jesus said, not everybody that calls me Lord is going to heaven. Not everybody that says Jesus is the Savior is going to heaven. Many will say to me in that day, this is the great white throne, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Preachers. And in thy name have cast out devils. Exorcists. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's a lake of fire. Because they were never born again. I never knew you. You never got it. Corky Jensen's in heaven. I'm going to heaven. How about you? Be real. You know, your kids aren't stupid. They know if you're a hypocrite or not. They know how real you are. Be real. Your kids deserve a daddy that's real. Be vocal. And by the way, this drift that I alluded to earlier, in another 10 years, if the Lord tarries, I'm telling you, America, I know we won't recognize it, apart from a Holy Spirit revival. Churches that I consider one time good churches, and now they're, and there's good people in those churches. And, you know, but there's that big drift going on. It's in the leadership. It's everywhere. You can kind of see it. I'm telling you, if the Lord tarries 10 years from now, they'll be ultra liberal. That's the way of man. We either hold to the Word of God or we don't. Say, I'm just going to give a little over here. And before long, I'm going to give a little over there. And it won't be long. And by the way, your kids will take your sins to the excess. You miss church once in a while, they'll miss it all the time. You know, you cuss once in a while, they'll cuss all the time. That's the way of man. Don't blame them. That's the way of man. So you've got to be real and you've got to be vocal. Let's go to Deuteronomy. It was read this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 11. They're hearing, your kids are hearing all kinds of other messages. You cannot be the silent partner in the work of God, with God. You have got, you are the vocal one. You are the one that must instruct the next generation. You're the one that must teach them, that you teach the next generation. By the way, that's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have Maplewood. That's why we have VBS. That's why we have Camp Canaanland. Nobody's getting rich off of those ministries. People that are going on, people went out there this week and you sweat and somebody literally bled and all the work that's going into that. You know, no, you're not going out there to get a paycheck. And that's not what it's about. We're trying to impact Michigan for Christ. We're trying to impact the next generation. The last thing I want to do is be Judas and complain about everything that's always being done. That money could have been spent better. That's the last place I want to be. I want to be right in line with Jesus Christ. And we need to be vocal in teaching the next generation. Listen to this, dads. Verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these words, the word of God, in your heart first, be real, and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be frontlets, as frontlets between your eyes. You take the word of God wherever you go in life. You're teaching, you're vocal all of the time. Verse 19, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You never get away from it. Always looking for a pulpit. Always looking for a way to teach junior or sis something more about the word of God in relation to life. And thou shalt write them upon thy doorposts, or the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates. Have scripture everywhere, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. What is wrong with America right now is that the present day parents, the parents from the previous generation, were not on fire for God. I'm talking about as a whole in America. And a whole generation was lost. And they grew up being taught other things by government officials and other people, totally void of God. And so now they have an unbiblical worldview, and things are just, we're reaping what we have sowed in America. We shook our fist at God 50 years ago when prayer was taken out of the public schools, over 50 years ago. And look what's going on right now. It's all coming down. We're reaping exactly what we've sowed. I won't read the rest of Deuteronomy and chapter 11, but it says in verse 22, if you follow me, I'll bless you. If you don't, I'll curse you. How's the next generation doing? Not real well right now. And this is a call to fatherhood. You're still raising kids? You better be real and be vocal. You got grandkids in your life? You better be real and be vocal. They can't get too much of the right stuff. So very important. You used to have that phrase, used to hear it around the football team when I played way back in the ancient days, leather day helmets and that kind of thing. I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with the girls who do, you know, and we worked at being separated. Our coach told us those kinds of, you know, those kinds of things all the time. And I'm just saying, before I go to the next point, act like a man. Quit you like men, Paul said to the church at Corinth. Old English for act like men. Be real. Be vocal. If you aren't the Bible expert in your family, shame on you as a man. If your kids can't come to you for answers, you know, mom's the one that knows all the Bible. You have given them a distorted idea of God right now. You need to be the Bible man. Mom's going to do her part. You better study to stay in front of her, all right? So you be real. You be vocal. And be fun. Say, why would you say that, Pastor? Because you don't want to be known as old grumpy pants. You don't want to be the wet blanket. When you come in the room, there's no more fun, no more. You know, that's all. That was poor English, I understand. But, you know, it's dad's here, got to be serious, no joking. And the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8, in verse 10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. Being Mr. Grumpy Pants is not appealing. You're going to turn your kids off. You know who God is. You know what peace you have and what joy you have? We're sharing that this morning in Sunday school. Man, I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. So many, Paul said to the church of Corinth, you've been beguiled. You've been bedazzled by the false apostles and the Judaizers. You've gotten all caught up in things you shouldn't be caught up in, and making prioritizing things that shouldn't be first place in your life. And you have lost, Paul's words, the simplicity of Jesus Christ. Man, you ought to walk with God. Oh, I love to hear his voice. Isn't that a good song? Amen. Man, you ought to walk in the simplicity of God. Corky Jensen, at his funeral, I say this to your credit. I was there the whole time for the viewing, and there were good people there, and some of our people were there. But the closer it got to the funeral time, the funeral service, more people from Fundamental got there. And Connie, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but it got louder, and there was a lot more laughter. And I commented to the two or three men that were standing around me, more people from Fundamental are getting here. Listen, and you could hear laughter over there and laughter over here in the funeral home. In the funeral home. And laughter over here. That's the joy of the Lord. And I hesitate. I got to say this because it's Corky. Because I'm going to get to heaven and he's going to say, you know, you should have shared that. You know what Clint was concerned about? Getting the smile off Corky's face. And he had to work at it, didn't he? He had to work at it. Because he just didn't think it'd be good for Corky to be in the casket with a smile on his face. It was there. It was part of him. You know why? Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That's it. That is it. The joy of the Lord. And I want to tell you, as a man, one of the reasons I surrendered to preach was the Bible camp that I went to, and I went there as a counselor, and I was 18 years of age and needed a man counselor, and I went, and I remember the best times I had in my life was at Bible camp in the summertime. I mean, number one. There was nothing that, like, when I got to the end of camp, I remember thinking, I got to wait a whole year for camp again. And it isn't that I didn't have a good home life. I did. But I just loved Bible camp. I learned so much. And then I went back as a counselor. And I looked around. And when I finally surrendered and said yes to God, I already had a job. You know, I already started my family. Already trying to establish things. And I looked around as a 19-year-old man. And I saw all these preachers and the laughter. These other guys that were at camp. The joy. And I remember thinking, I'm missing that, and I don't have it. And I got down with Debbie under a big white pine tree and a carpet of big white pine needles and prayed and said, God, if you'll still have me, I'll go to Bible college this fall. Amen. And God said, I'll take you. And it all fell together. We have a loving Heavenly Father. Amen. Man, you ought to get to know him. You'd laugh once in a while. You'd know the joy of the Lord. You see, oh, you don't know my burdens. I'll bet every one of those preachers that were at that Bible camp had burdens. I'll bet every one of them had people that were grievous and people that had failed and people that disappointed them. And I'll bet every one of them got phone calls in the middle of the night and people that talked bad about them. And, you know, and I'll bet they all had that, but they also had the joy of the Lord. Amen. Be real, be vocal, be fun, and be strong. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. My book, 2 Timothy, is in the New Testament. Here I am, chapter 1 and verse 13. Here's why I want you to be strong before I read it. Because if you don't, as the leader of your family, chances are your children won't either. You give the flesh an inch, it'll take a mile. If you're not the strong one, that's why we have a responsibility as New Testament Christians to be Bible fundamentalists. Because I'm telling you, there are fewer and fewer churches that are holding the line anymore. We're not alone. There are all kinds of other ones. But I'm just telling you, there are fewer and fewer. And everybody's getting to the place where they're doing that which is right in their own eyes. And they're going to lose the next generation. I can point at church after church after church, and I'm not even an old man. Some of you think I am, but, you know, 58 isn't really that old. I'm not that. I'm trying to convince myself right now, all right? I'm not really an old man, and I can point churches in our area. They lost the whole next generation. And I can go back to the place where that church, there's no young people in that church. They lost the whole generation. They thought they were going to get them back by putting drum sets in their church, and it didn't happen. And they just slid further down the road. Well, it's an amazing thing to me. Someone has got to be strong. 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 13 says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Verse 1 of chapter 2, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also, the next generation. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." So we're to be strong. Go to the book of Titus, another verse. Titus in chapter 3. Just go to the back of the Bible just a little bit further. Chapter 3 and verse 8. "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." There's going to be all kinds of temptation to compromise. I'm talking about Bible doctrine. I'm talking about Bible truths. "Let God be true and every man a liar." I've studied the Word of God and I don't know everything and I'm still learning. But man, I've been at it for years and years and years now, over 35 years altogether, longer than that, over 39 years. I've got degrees and I've got some advanced degrees and I study and I still don't know everything. And I know the great doctrines of the Word of God though. And I know the things that are important to me and I've studied the Word of God. We've got to hold to the truth. We cannot compromise. Be strong, men. There are churches that are adrift. Where will they be in another few years? Again, give me that old-time religion. Grandpa's churches and Grandpa's Bible, that's what I want. I want to challenge you men this morning to put on your big boy boots and provide some godly leadership. And we all walk in the same shoes there. You know, we do. But can I say this? Lead your wives. Lead them. Direct in your household. Be the last word. Be that one your children and your wife, they're screaming out for leadership. Don't let them get it from Facebook. Don't let them get it off the television sets. Provide godly leadership. Your kids are important. So are mine. Your grandkids, they're important. So are mine. And it behooves us. The love of God demands it. Be real, be vocal, be fun, and be strong.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.